Father, let it pass from me. Oh, I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands, pull the nails that torment me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Then forever my soul would be lost.
Please this morning and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, that's right after the book of Proverbs. We're going to read out of chapter 3 of the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 this morning. I am going to read out loud as you read silently. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. As you're finding your place, if you're able, please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Let's pray together. Father, please meet the needs in this room. You know what those needs are. Please help us to hear the preaching today, to feel those needs, and get what you have for us. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with your Holy Spirit power and use him to help us today so that we can be a help to others. And then, Father, that if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ, the one we did the Lord's Supper about, we've sung about, God, if they don't know him this morning, I pray before they leave this room, they would trust him as their Savior. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, it's very important that you make sure your cell phone is turned off or turned to vibrate. If it goes off during the service this morning and you are rooting for a particular team in the Super Bowl, they will lose by 5 touchdowns. So help us there, please. It would be greatly appreciated. I'm going to ask that you not get up and move around, just sit still, listen very carefully for a few moments. Seriously, because I have 4 minutes until 12. Church is supposed to be over at noon. Now, it doesn't happen here, but that's the way I've heard. It's supposed to be over at noon. So you're about to get a 4-minute sermon and then a really long part after that. But 4 minutes. Stay with me this morning, please. These last couple of weeks, we've been talking about places where all matters are settled. In heaven, all matters of life and this life and everything else, it's all settled in heaven. Everything. No one is going to walk around in heaven with a question in their mind or wonder about anything that happened in this life or the life to come. Get to heaven, all matters are settled. Listen, that's why you want to be sure you're going to heaven. Last week we talked about the fact there's another place in eternity. It's called hell. And in that case, all matters are settled in hell too. Well, there'll be more questions and a lot of things people don't understand, but hell will determine, it'll settle everything for those who are there. But what about this life? Is there a place where everything's going to be settled in this life? You say, well, Pastor, I mean, I'm glad that heaven is going to settle everything. I certainly don't want to wind up in hell where it settles everything, but what about now? What about the here and now? Is there a place on this earth, in this life, that will settle everything? There's one. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, look at it again. To everything, there is a season and a, what's the next word, please? And a time to every purpose under heaven. Then the next several verses talks about a time for this and a time for that. Look at verse 11. And then it says this, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. That's where everything will be settled eventually. Time. You know, we use the expression, time heals all wounds. But in reality, that isn't always how it works, is it? Some people, they get better as time goes on. Some people get better. All you have to do is go to a nursing home and visit patients there, visit the dear people. You can tell who did things right, lived right, did what they should. Their circumstances toward the end of their life did not change them. They're sweet. Some of them are just crotchety mean. Time caught up with them. Now listen to me this morning. Now, it's very important to understand something. In heaven, there are no conditions. Everything will be settled, and the same is true for hell. But in this life, there is a conditional thing about time settling all matters. I know that the longer we live, the more we understand things better. We have a better perspective on life. That's why we need to listen to the older generation and not the younger ones about life and what to do and how to live. While someone's living their life and trying to figure it out, they don't need to be telling anybody what to do. They're trying to figure it out. Someone who's lived their life, then that's a person. But again, I know a lot of people, and I was reading again this morning in the Bible. It says, great men, older men are not always wise. I know some people who have lived a good long life, but it hasn't been good, but it has been long. And they still haven't figured it out. Now look at me. Time settles all matters, but there are some conditions to this. But they will. Hey, listen to me. They will. It will. Time will settle all matters. If we have faith. See that statement in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose unto heaven. That only works if you go to verse 11 and attach verse 11 to verse 1. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. See, time will settle everything. Listen now, if our faith and trust is in the God who settles everything in His time. When Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, 20 years of his life would be lost, and it looked like for Joseph, he was never going to, I mean, everything was against this man. He's sold by his brothers into slavery. He's taken off to Egypt. He's sold again into slavery in Potiphar's house as a slave. He is falsely accused of rape. He is thrown in prison. This guy's on a downward slide in life, and nothing looks like it's working, and time is passing. And instead of it getting better with time, it was getting worse for Joseph in time. Then in the prison, Joseph interprets a dream for a couple of prisoners. He's brought to Pharaoh's palace. He interprets a dream for Pharaoh. And Joseph goes from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison to the palace. In 20 years, he was prepared and ready, and he became the second most powerful man in the land of Egypt. It just took time. No, it didn't. It took a man who never lost his faith in God. Now, you look at me. You want to talk about becoming bitter and cynical and hard in life. Show me somebody who goes through life and the things of life happen to them and they have no God in which to place their faith. Or they put their faith in the wrong places. We put our faith in people and we put our faith in things and we put our faith, here's the worst one, ourselves. And then what happens? Do you know what happens, ladies and gentlemen? Eventually, all of those things could and will probably fail us. But never the God of heaven. You show me somebody who goes to the things of life, and as time passes, they never shift their faith from the God of heaven, and they never take it off of Him. I'll show you somebody within time, God will make everything beautiful in His time. Ecclesiastes 1:11 is just an Old Testament redo, or Old Testament preview, I should say, of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I'm sorry if you become cynical in life and you don't believe in anything or in anyone because somebody failed you, because someone let you down. I'm sorry, but all it should have done was shown you that you put your faith in the wrong place. Well, I had faith in God and some awful things happened to me in my life. He hath made everything beautiful in His time, not mine. As a boy living in a drunkard's home, listening to my drunk stepfather and mother fight with each other and beat on one another. Then he'd come down that hallway and kick the door open to our room where my brother and I lay and jerk us up out of bed and slap us around. And that was almost a daily occurrence. If we didn't have fighting or something going on with a bunch of drunk fools in the front room fighting with each other, living in the life of sin, if there was a day that didn't happen, that was a good day for us. Many a night I lay there and I think to myself, a boy now, listen, a six, seven-year-old boy. I think to myself, is my life always going to be like this? Is this the way it's always going to be? And by the way, at 6, 7 years of age, I could have, but I just didn't know God then. My people didn't go to church. They're drunks. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know how to pray. Didn't know who to talk to. Didn't deny His existence, just didn't know who He was. I did not know. I did not know if my life would always be like that. I just didn't know. You think that 6, 7-year-old boy could have looked ahead to where I am now today in my life and what my life has been now these last 30-some, almost 40-some years in the will of God? You think I could have seen that as a boy? Had no idea. Had no idea. But there's one who's sitting on the throne of heaven who had an idea. He knew. You say, well, then He shouldn't have had you go through that. Well, quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry that you think you're so smart, that you think you know better than what God allows in life. God didn't want me to live like that. It wasn't His fault. That was the choice of the people in my life. I learned to place the correct blame on the correct people and keep it there and not blame God for allowing people free will agency. That's very important. Because remember something. Look at me. If you want God to stop everybody from doing wrong to everybody else, then He's going to stop you. And we don't want that. We want to do our own little thing. So let's just get real for a moment. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, later on in life, I come to find out that those things that I experienced as a child growing up in my life helped me immensely in the ministry today. And God took those things and turned them out for good. He didn't want them to happen, but He was able to take those things and turn them out for good. Now, when things happen to me, because I don't have that happen to me anymore. Now, I don't live in a drunk home. Don't have to do that kind of stuff. No way. But there's still things that happen to me in life that I don't understand, that don't make any sense to me, that I can't reason in my own mind, but I found something out. You keep your faith in God and trust Him in His time, He'll make it right. See, time settles all matters if my eyes are on him. How could it be for Daniel that he's taken from his home captive to a far land, never to return again? How could it be that Daniel could go through all he experienced in his life but still influence kingdoms and empires? Because Daniel never lost his faith in God. I'm sorry that God didn't do everything you thought, he didn't do everything for you the way you wanted him to, in the time that you wanted him to, in the way that you wanted him to. But I learned something a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a lot of pressure off me if I just quit trying to act like God. So, well, that's just not fair, Pastor Johnson. Yeah, it is. It's fair. Stop acting like God and let him be God. Put your faith in God. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. And he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Don't you understand, friend? Look at me. Don't you understand God's perspective of time? He created time, by the way. God dwells in the eternal realm. He doesn't live in the minutes, hours, and days. He dwells in the eternal realm. God created time when he created everything else. Sun goes up, sun goes down, that makes a day. God did that. He created all of that. And he created that so we would live on a schedule of time, so we'd understand the scope of time. That no matter how tough this day is, it's only going to last one 24-hour period. That's all. And then tomorrow, we're going to get up and try again. I'm telling you, when these people say, I just wish I had more hours in the day. I do. I want to slap them. No, please, no more. Just 24 is enough. Let me go to bed, get a little sleep, get up tomorrow and try it again. I watch dear people lay on a bed of suffering and go through months and sometimes years of suffering in their lives. You know how they do it? One day at a time, sweet Jesus, just one day at a time. I stood beside the bed of so many people and held their hands and prayed for them and said, I wish I could give you some answer for this. I'm going to pray for healing, but God will do the work and that's up to him. I said, the truth is you can only take it one day at a time. That's all you can do. And then it dawned on me one day at the hospital holding the dear saint of God's hand. If I was completely healthy, I could only take it one day at a time. It's all I can do. But listen to me, one day holding his hand, not holding out. One day, listen, one day trusting the God of heaven to know better than I do. Then I don't have all the doubts and questions and skepticism and hardness in my life. I've been there, done that, friend. Bought that t-shirt, okay? Been there. Where I just mad at God, mad at everything else on this planet because of my childhood. How foolish! And it was all settled. And I bowed my knee to the God of heaven and say, okay, I don't get it, but I know you do. You've got an idea. You know what you're doing, Lord. And my faith in God helped. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. And in his time, he made everything beautiful. I'm sorry. I have grown up. It's taught me to. There's so many benefits of a difficult childhood. We talk about the burden of, oh, I had a thing with a thing, and my mom put my diaper on too tight when I was little, and my little brother shaved my head and called me baldy and took a picture of it, showed it to my first girlfriend, and all this kind of stuff, and all that. You say, you're making fun of people's troubles. I'm making fun of my troubles because I've been there, and I hear people do it all the time, but the truth is, I don't look back on my past and see the difficult and burden of it. I look back on my past, and you know what? I appreciate opening the refrigerator door, and there's something there besides beer. There's actually food to eat. I appreciate the fact that I don't live in a household with people that just can't keep their life together, keep blowing it up, running back and forth to drugs and alcohol and destroying their life and then wonder why. Look at me. I'm thankful for that. I don't look down on anybody that does because I've been there, friend. I live like that. I know what it is, but by the grace of God, that's not the way my life is anymore. I appreciate going home to a home and a wife and a family. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me in my life. I appreciate going to bed at night and hearing the beautiful sound of quiet because all our kids are gone. Time does settle all matters to those who have faith, but faith in God. Time settles all matters to those who are obedient. Listen to me, obedient. Jesus, the Bible says in Isaiah 1 and verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, ye shall, conditional, ye shall eat the good of the land. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Heard a preacher preach years ago on that text of Galatians chapter 6, and he said, the seed's in the ground. Now what have you been planting? We have been. You planted seed this week with your actions or inactions, but you still planted seed, and so did I. And the seed's in the ground. I planted bulbs two, 3 months ago, some daffodils. I like daffodils. A couple of months ago, I put a bunch of daffodil bulbs in a big pot out in the back area there. And I kept checking for the little sprouts to start to come up, and they weren't coming up. And I thought, man, what is going on with these things? Finally, they started to break the ground. Well, it just takes time. But I put them in the ground 3 months ago to see them now. But now in the middle of a drought, they've all bloomed and died. I mean, you know, okay, well, you do what you do. The truth of the matter is, though, look here. Here's what we think. I'll do what I want, live the way I want, and then it should turn out right because that's the way God should make it. Why should he go against the seed you've planted? He put that in nature. It's not going to change. Example. In John chapter 21, the disciples, about 7 of them, had quit on the Lord and gone back to the fishing business. Truthfully, only a couple of them were fishermen. The rest of them just went along because they're little sheep with their nose like this, you know, a little ring in their nose being led around like puppy dogs by people. Like some of you folks, you just let somebody just lead you around and everywhere in life. Why don't you get some gumption to you? Something my people used to call something besides sand for a backbone. Stand up for Jesus. But they quit the preaching business and went to the fishing business. And the Bible says in John chapter 21, that night they fished all night, and that night they caught nothing. Daylight, Jesus standing on the shore. Children, have you any meat? And they said, no. And then Jesus made this statement. Listen, he said, throw your nets on the right side of the ship. I love the perfection and exactness of the Bible. He didn't say the front, didn't say the back. He said the right side of the ship. And when they did, they caught fish. Because you know why? Because they threw it on the right side of the ship. Simply put, they did what was the right thing. And because they threw it on the right side of the ship, then they caught the fish they couldn't catch all night long. And then God began to help them. And then it began to mix. And as soon as the net pulled in that those dark waters and those silvery fish began to move about, they looked at one another and they go, that's Jesus. They knew what that meant. They'd seen him do it so many times before. And when they started to do the right thing in their life again, the fish were in the net. And they knew the Lord again. You understand? They didn't need salvation again. They just knew it was Jesus because they did the right thing. Now, friend, look at me. Time is not going to solve anything for you if you're not going to do what he tells you to do. Time's not going to fix it. If you're going to go out there and hit a liquor store on the way home and get you a bunch of beer and go home and sit there like a fool and drink that junk sitting in front of a television set. Time is not going to fix anything if you hold bitterness in your heart towards somebody and you're going to hold that out against him. Time will not fix that. All that will do is cause the root of bitterness to go down deep, Hebrews says. And then springing up will defile many, the Bible says. Time doesn't fix everything. Time fixes things to those who are willing to do what they're supposed to do. See, we've all planted seed in our life that we shouldn't have. Agreed? All right, now, here we go. So stop planting the seed and start putting the right seed in the ground. The harvest is going to come in. It will. And that stuff that shouldn't have been in the ground, that's going to come up. It is. It just is. God said it is. It's going to. It's the way it goes. However, see, if I put the good seed in the ground, I've got some stuff that's been frozen by these cold mornings we've had. And it looks as dead can be. These few days we've had of warmth, well, there's starting to be life coming out of some of that stuff. I thought it was dead, but God is showing me through his creation that if you give him time, listen now, and you do the right thing, he'll bring you out of this. See, we think Joseph just went through 20 years of suffering and Dr. Phil and Oprah and all the counseling sessions that he needed and everything else to get to where Joseph was in his life. No, everywhere Joseph landed, he landed on his feet. He was faithful. He did what God wanted him to do. And the Lord blessed that. And that carried Joseph through those times until the day came. Second most powerful man in the world. And Joseph saw his brothers come to him, though they didn't know who he was. And Joseph at that moment realized, you meant this for good, but God meant it to bring me here to keep us all alive. I see it now. It only took him 20 years to see it, but he didn't see it. Because he did the right thing. See, we grow up with difficult childhoods and backgrounds in our life, and then we play the rest of our life broken. My life is destroyed because of this. And we keep destructive behavior and ruining our lives and the others around us, by the way. You always take a bunch of people with you. You never quit on God and go alone. You never do. You never hurt yourself. You always hurt other people. But at some point, folks, listen to me, doing the right thing puts you on the path you're supposed to be, and now you're helping those who need to be on that same path go the direction they're supposed to do. And in His time, He makes everything beautiful. Beautiful. You know, beauty is a relative term. They say beauty is only skin deep. I say ugly is all the way down to the bone, however. You know, it's one of those deals. Heard someone say ugly people have to marry ugly people, but they're not allowed to have children. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But the truth of the matter is, beautiful is subjective to folks. I don't understand why someone likes an Edsel. Now, if you like Edsels, don't get upset with me. But truth is, that's an ugly, stinking car. That's all there is to it. I knew a man used to go to our church. He was in the Studebaker Association of America. You know, most of you don't even know what a Studebaker is. Many of you do. He loved those cars. Got them all over his property. Ugly car. Ugly. About as ugly as a Rambler. I'm talking ugly. Or the VW thing. That's an ugly, stinking car. But some people think it's beautiful. Thank you. Our lone thing owner over here. But no one ever looked at that thing and went, boy, I wish I had one of those. I mean, no, except people who own them. The truth is, it's a relative term, this thing of beautiful. Say, well, then how can He make everything beautiful? Will it be beautiful to me? Will it be beautiful to others? How will that be? Did you know I've met people before horribly deformed and burnt in fires until they had no nose left, no ears? There's just a hole in their face. And they look almost like an alien of some kind. Burnt, just burnt up. No hair on their head, just fried. And it's almost, sometimes it's, for us, it's almost kind of hard to look at them and to talk to them. But I've met people like that. And as soon as you begin to talk to them, there is a beauty that comes out of that suffering they endured, if they handled it right. And then all of a sudden, even something as horrible as that. He had made everything beautiful in His time. Now listen to me. You have to understand, it took Joseph 20 years to get there. It took Daniel all his entire life to see what God would do. I'm sorry, but it isn't going to happen overnight. But if you'll do the right thing in His time, He'll make it right. He'll do what no one else could possibly do. Time settles all matters in one other area very quickly, and that's this. If we'll wait. If we'll wait. Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We think waiting on the Lord means I just have to sit back and take it. I'm just waiting. That's all there is to it. You know how you are when you stand in line at Walmart or something. You're standing there just waiting. I hate waiting in line. I hate it. Drives me crazy. And it seems like every time I change lines and go to the short line, this person over here in the short line, they got some issue. They want to know what the price is on an item that ain't worth it anyway. And they call back to the department and it doesn't exist for an item that we don't care about. And I'm standing in line waiting on this poor soul. And I'm getting anxious. And it's $1.29. And I just think, you know what? I'll give you $5 if you'll just let me out of here. I'll give you $5 for that if you just let me go home. I don't want to stand in. I don't want to be in Walmart when Jesus comes back. I just don't want to be standing in line. I hate waiting in line. I can't stand waiting in line. It drives me crazy. We think, wait, I don't like red lights. I don't like stop signs. I obey them most of the time. The truth of the matter is, I don't like to wait. And that's what we think wait on the Lord means. You got to just stand around. Wait. You ever been in the military? What's the expression of the military? Hurry up and... Yeah, they march you like a mad fool wherever you're supposed to go, and you stand there for an hour and a half. Well, we could have waited back in the barracks, and it took us over there. Nope, got to hurry up and wait. Drives you crazy after a while. That's not what wait on the Lord means. You know, waiting in the Bible here is talking about the twisting of a rope, the making of a rope. In other words, it means you bind together your faith in God and your obedience to the Lord. And while you do that, you give Him time to work it out. While you're obedient to God and faithful to the Lord and trusting Him, you're twisting all together your faith and obedience and your dependence on the Lord to make this thing all work out. And they that do that, that wait on the Lord, like that, well, the Bible said, shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint, but no standing. Then if you're willing to wait on God, you know He'll come through. If you're willing to wait on God, you know He'll honor His word. Children of Israel in the First Chronicles were surrounded. The king was named Jehoshaphat. He was a heavy man. His name was Jehoshaphat. Boy, you guys are not even paying attention this morning. You got it? Thank you. Hey, watch it. The truth of the matter is they were surrounded by the opposing armies and looked like they were not going to make it, and they didn't know what to do, and they made this statement when they cried out to God. Neither know we what to do, they said, but our eyes are on Thee. And God came through, and they had a victory. Huh. So when they didn't know what to do, what did they do? They did what they're supposed to, trusted God, kept their eyes on Him, and God came through. Well, I know people who've done that, Pastor Johnson, and they died. Okay, so if they're a child of God, this is a bad thing. This is bad when someone dies. This is a bad thing for a child of God. Terrible. They go to heaven where they're healthy and never know another moment of sorrow again the rest of life. This is a bad thing. See, that's because we're holding on to this life so much. Now, I'm not anxious to go to heaven. I would just assume today... I got to get me some fried chicken somewhere today. I'm just going to have to. I'm sorry. But I got a fried chicken Jones working really bad. And God help the nearest fried chicken place because they're in trouble today. I would like to get you a couple pieces of fried chicken, 5 or 6, maybe 8. And I would like to do that. I would like this afternoon to get through the day. And I'm not that all hung up on the Super Bowl. No big deal. By the way, we'll find out what kind of Christian you are tonight when church comes around. We'll get to that in a minute. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. But I'm okay. If God leaves me on this earth for a while, I'm all right. He's good. God's good. Thank both you Methodists. I said God is good. Yes, He is. God is good. God makes everything beautiful in His time. My job isn't standing around going, okay, when? That's not my job. The more anxious I get standing in line at a store, the longer the line seems to be. And it's not moving. I'm watching all these people. I change lines and then that line goes down. And I go, hey! You're driving down the road behind somebody who drives so cotton picking slow. You pass them up, you zoom to the light. While you're waiting, what happens? They pull up next to you. The light turns green and you go through the same light. I haven't figured it out yet. What is the deal with that? You know what? The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll bind together your faith and obedience, that's waiting on the Lord, then He will come through and give time. He will come through. Leave the how and the why and the what to God and stay faithful, do the right thing. Do you see Joseph as losing 20 years of his life, or do you see Joseph as being prepared for 20 years to save his family? And by the way, the heritage of your faith and mine was through that young man that got sold as a slave to Egypt. Because it all came through that descendancy of the children of Israel and our faith, etc. You know that, right? You think he saw that when he got sold? Nope. You think he enjoyed it? Nope. Do you think he just trusted God did right and God came through? Yes. Why would it be any different for us? So, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Do you have enough confidence in the God of heaven and His word to wait on the Lord the way the Bible says to do so? Give God time. He settles all matters. My problem is in my own life. My problem is these people that keep causing me trouble in life. You give God time, He straightens everything out. All I have to do is the right thing. In obedience, trusting the Lord, doing the right thing. God takes care of all this relationship stuff. That's why you, bless your heart, you think you've got to fix everything. And now with social media, we've got to get involved in everybody's stuff.